associate, Jesus Christ. So that's a bit about my background. And also, I myself study computer engineering. This means it's very, very difficult to persuade me turn to some so-called religion. It's very difficult. And systematically, well educated to the theory of evolution. It's kind of embedded into our thinking. So that's something before my 20 years old. And I thank God that at my age of 12, He allowed me to have asthma. The asthma is so beautiful when it comes to me. I could not breathe well like that. So I think that's one of the biggest challenge in my growth. I started to think, why do I have to suffer? I think I used to be a happy boy, but because of this asthma, I started to think, do I have to suffer all the way in my remaining of my life? But I thank God for this, because he kind of intrigued or involved me to think about life. So I studied all the way until my college, and I will start to read what I have written, because I don't have a good memory. It dates back to April 2005. I had a roommate. He indulged himself in computer games. He is my good friend. He didn't live quite happy. So one day he asked me, what is the purpose of life? So this question really beat me. And since I could not answer it satisfactorily, so it became my own question. From then on, it was planted in my mind like a seed, keep on growing. I could never forgot that question, because I myself never have a satisfactory answer to that. Let me introduce my feeling at that time. I don't know whether you have the feeling of darkness. It's not the darkness in the night. You still may have some lights from houses, or even moonlight. So the only darkness in my mind was a trip to Mammoth Cave in Kentucky. So during that trip, Mammoth Cave doesn't mean there is a mammoth elephant buried in the cave. It just means that the cave is very, very big. So in that trip, at some point, the guide turned off all the lights inside the cave. That's the only darkness I can experience. It's like when you hand out your hand, you can never see your fingers. But even that was not complete darkness, because I wore a nightclub watch and I saw the sunlight from my watch. But I just want to tell you how I felt at the time when I didn't have any answer to that question. It's like very helpless, hopeless, in complete darkness. And then, so I said it was in April 2005. So in the following 3 years, I mean from 2005 to 2008, not sure about the purpose of life, I felt something significant was lost, even though I lived seemingly peaceful. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Fortunately, on April 30th, 2008, I came across a topic discussing the purpose of life in my university's internet forum. From this topic and its following discussions, I learned a book, Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. Many followers of that internet topic recommend this book. So without any hesitation, I purchased a copy of that book. It gave me hints to my question and made me believe there is God through the reading of first few chapters. Everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. This is in Colossians 1st chapter, verse 16. From this book, I feel that Bible verses were so powerful. They strengthened me during my difficult time. But after reading the book, I was still not sure who Jesus is and why the book kept on mentioning and emphasizing Him. worship is not commonly spoken in modern Chinese. Yeah. I mentioned that I feel like I was in darkness, and that book, Purpose-Driven Life, in each of these chapters contains maybe one verse, two verses, three verses from the Bible. So that small amount of verses, like shedding light on me in the darkness. I believe that was the first time I read Bible verses. And then time really flies. In 2010, God worked in my life in a mysterious way. I arrived in the University of Kentucky for my graduate study. I was reached out by some Christian friends, and finally I was introduced to Ashland Avenue Baptist Church. I joined the Bible Fellowship group. The fellowship at the time taught us Gospel of John. I learned more and more about who Jesus is and what he had done for us. Then I realized that I am a sinner in the need of salvation by Jesus. As scripture says, by God, who is abundant in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses. By grace, you are saved. This is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. And Jesus paid for my sins through his death on the cross. But this is not the end of the story. He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is found in Peter, 1st chapter, verse 3. By the amazing grace of God, I am given this new home. Even more, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. This is in Hebrews 13, verse 5. This is why I come to this baptism. So I read this when I was baptized in 2011. Praise God.
Scriptures and what else? I've got this Bible, by the way. It says 1983. I gave it Christ in 1977, but someone gave it. This is nothing more than an ordinary NIV Bible, okay? But you know, you pull it up with your Bible, you mark it up, you write in there. See all this dirt on the side? That's manila dirt right there. That's my Bill Gates, okay? And the pages will stick together. I'm not just even pulling the pages apart, they stick. But you fall in love with your Bible, you get to where you get almost by feeling, you know where the scriptures are, because your eye is trained to the location. So this Bible was falling apart when I was in Big Bear many years ago as a pastor. And I made a joke, I said, it's the Dead Sea Scrolls. And someone came up to me and they said, if you give me up that Bible and give me one day, I'll get it back to you. And the next day, I didn't even know this person. He came back with this cover, very nice cover, and so I'm grateful. And then the other day, last Sunday, I left my Bible here by mistake, and I went to old self,
yeah.
But your new self, and I don't get intrigued by this, my old self and my new self. And the conclusion that you reach is that God doesn't take your old self and remake it. He doesn't say, okay, come to me, follow Christ, and I will do a remodeling job. He says, no, let's kill you first. You go to the cross and you believe in the cross of us, we'll take the old guy and we'll kill him. Your sinful nature, we will kill your sinful nature. And you will die with me when I hung on that cross. I took all of your sins, all of your selfishness, all of your idolatry, all of your wickedness, every evil thought, every evil deed, past, present, and future, I took on the cross. Jesus took on the cross. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So, when you say, God, have mercy, I believe that you're the Son of God, come into my heart. You don't know all this stuff, but what's really happening is you're saying, I used to be in charge of my own life. I was living in darkness. And so Roger used to be on the throne of my own life. I'm Roger. And when you come to Christ, you discover you're not the one on the throne. You're a great sinner. And you surrender and say, I give up my life. And now, I give my life to you, Jesus. You be the Lord of my life. I'm not in charge of my life anymore. You are. I'm not the Lord of my life anymore. And so when Janet and I went to the YMCA pool in 1977, and Pastor Ed Smith at that time in Encinitas said, you guys want to do it together? Not letting you do that. We did hand in hand. And here around the pool, all around the swimming pool, this is my experience, were people watching us. And I recognized a couple of them that I'd gone to high school with. And I felt like I was saying, by publicly admitting that I have been an idiot. And I'm humbling myself and saying, but I'm giving up my life. I'm done. Becoming a Christian requires a great humility. A recognition that, wow, you have messed it up. You have lived in darkness. You've been a sinner. So, Pastor, then you know what this is, don't you? Come out of water. And then God begins a process in your life of transforming you into His image. So much to learn. I thought it was just, step one, I give up marijuana, I give up smoking. Your own sister said it gets a lot deeper than that. When he starts dealing with anger and lust and everything else, and he's going to spend the rest of your life shaping you into his image. And Christianity is a process of reckoning the old self dead. You see, when you become a Christian, there is still a conflict between your old nature and your new nature. Why my flesh can still act up and be very mighty? Can we admit that all of us have that flesh? And the Bible says that. It says that in 1 Peter 2, it says in the one translation, the bodily passions are constantly at war against the soul. Wow. I mean, the bodily passions, 1 Peter 2:11. Galatians 5:17, it says that the spirit and the flesh are in conflict. So you do not do what you want. In Romans 8:12 says we are to put to death the misdeeds of the body through the spirit. So the story is told about a guy who had two dogs. And the dogs would fight all the time. They were dogs and they would fight all the time. And come up, you know, there's a black dog and a white dog if you want. And he says, well, why would they fight? Which dog wins? The answer is the one I feed the most. That's an old illustration. If I feed my spirit grows strong. If I feed my flesh can grow strong also. The Bible says in Galatians 6, God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. And so, if I sow to the flesh, from the flesh I reap destruction. I said to the Spirit, I reap eternal life. And I'll be honest with you that sometimes I sow to both, and that's not good. And in Christianity is learning to sow to the Spirit. That's the dog that will win the battle. And so, being in the Word, being in fellowship, being in prayer, is how we live a Spirit-filled life. A life that is focused on Christ. Romans chapter 1. Do what? Romans 1. Make it Romans 3. I'm sorry. Pastor, you're disorganized. Romans 3:31. It says, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. We are all lawbreakers. We have all sinned by breaking the law. And so the Bible declares that the law is upheld by faith. As I confess my sins and say I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the requirements of the law are satisfied. And turn to Romans 6. Romans 6 describes what baptism is. This is a scripture I normally read in a baptism. Romans 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Circle new life, see new life. If we have been united with him in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self, I have that circle, was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that Christ was raised from the dead. He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God in the same way. Count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ, in Jesus. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. So you notice that the old self is died with Christ. We were buried with him in baptism. Baptism is simply a ceremony. Baptism does not get you to heaven. Faith is what saves you. You are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Let us be clear. And I'm not being very simple this morning. So that's all you're going to get. Is that we are all sinners in this room. Okay, basic. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is holy, and God is perfect, and he will judge sin. He will pour out his wrath and anger ultimately upon sin. However, he is also loving, and though he is holy, 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 he is loving. He loved us so much that rather than give up on us, even though Adam and Eve sinned and we've all sinned, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to earth. And Jesus is God, the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ, God himself, bore our sins on the tree, the cross. Jesus, the spends that last night with his disciples. And you know, we just had the Easter message. He washes their feet. He prays with them in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's arrested. He's taken to the Sanhedrin for a trial. He could have resisted. He could have called angels. But he willingly went to the cross for you and me. And then from there they took him to Pontius Pilate. And he didn't open his mouth. He said, the lamb before the shearers is silent. He didn't open his mouth. He submitted to the Father. He said, Father, for me any other way, let this cup pass from me. 3 times he prayed that. But there was no other way. There is no other way for you and I to go to heaven without the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because why? Because the wages of sin is death. God told Adam and Eve, if you eat from that tree, you will surely die. But Satan said, no, I'm okay. It's good. You can be God. Oh, yeah, really? I can be like God. See, that's the lie of Satan, is that you can be God of your own life. The lie of Satan is that you can be God of your own life. If you're God of your life is you're going to spend eternity separated from the Lord. You see, Eve and Adam, she gave it to Adam, and they realized they were naked, and they tried to cover up their sin with fig leaves. You know, kind of represents good works. Get the sewing machine out, fig leaves. But God takes them out of the garden, and he gives them animal garments. You know this. This is very basic. I'm being basic today. Why? Because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood. So Christ goes to the cross and substitutes in our place. Basic, right? And a substitutionary death. Imagine you've committed a crime. You kill somebody. Oh, you never really, you could have. All of us are old age, you're going to do anything. But so listen, if we kill somebody now, they're going to bring you before the firing squad, okay? You didn't think, really? Hey! Wait! All that is dead. You go over there. I'll take your place. Christ took our place on the cross. Christ died the death that we deserved. grace are we saved through faith. And this not of ourselves, is the gift of God, and not by works, lest any man should boast.
Ephesians 2:8-9.
So faith is what saves you. The people in the cross, you didn't have time to get baptized, did he? You know, there are two guys knees on each side, and just one of them insulting Jesus, the other guy finally went, wait a minute. Why, God, he's innocent. We're getting what we deserve. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. His arms are all stretched out in prayer, and Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Because that one thief on the cross believed on the holiness of God. I mean, there was a kingdom. He said, I have deep expressed faith in Jesus. That one was forgiven. They didn't have time to go to the pool and get baptized. So baptism does not save you. Faith in Jesus saves you. He confessed his sin like thief did. You know, we get what we deserve. Remember me, Jesus. Now, if you that confession of faith, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There is no difference, for all has sinned to come short of the glory of God and are justified freely by faith in his blood. Freely justified. Salvation is a free gift given to everyone who believes. We cannot earn it. It is not by how many times you read the Bible or go to church. Those are good things. It is not by how many good deeds you do. It is salvation is by faith. Now there is a response to faith. That faith is to live in a newness of life, to follow Christ. We are to be a holy people. We are to be a people that do the things that God said to do. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Getting the Chinese translation as well. So God calls us to a purposeful life. Each one of you that has become a Christian is now a missionary. Every one of you. You have a mission, you high schoolers. You have a mission, you college students. You have a mission. You realize how rare it is to see faith in high school. You guys understand that? You guys are a treasure. And I know your friends that you stay together, but if you would dare to share your faith, not just with the Asians, but with the non-Asians, some people may laugh at you, some people may persecute you, some people may discourage you. But Pleasant Valley High School and Chico High School need Jesus Christ. We are in a generation where faith is not being presented to them. Lies are being presented. And you guys make a difference. There are so many lies to this generation. And you guys that are high schoolers and are living for Christ, we're behind you. We are behind you. Stand for your faith. Carry your Bible. Stand for your faith. And then all you middle-aged people, share your faith. And all you old guys, share your faith. All of us. We are called to a purposeful life. We are all missionaries. Go and make disciples of all nations. We have a commission. You will go back to China. You have a purpose. Find the house church there in China. There's much more persecution now in China. If you're going to live for Christ, decide that you're going to live for Christ. Even if it costs you everything. Because there's nothing on this earth that's worth holding on to compared to the presence of Jesus in our heart. Eternal life is found in no other name. There's no other name under heaven given to men for which you must be saved. Buddha cannot save you. Hare Krishna, Muhammad. None of those things can save you. There's only one name. There's only one God and mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Because God wants to use us. CIF, he wants to use us. He wants to use us to reach other people. There's so many chances we have to share our faith. I can't be where you are. I'm not on the high school campus. You are. Look for opportunities to share your faith. I significance is going to be the rapture of the church. In an hour, you think not, the Son of Man will come. There are many that think this world might go through something, you know, this year, 2018. But what's the next earth-shaking event going to be? The great thing, guys, is if we know Jesus, and because we know Jesus, we will not be shaken. If North Korea were to send the nuclear bomb they were heading for San Francisco, there it comes. Wait, they missed that Chico. Alright, so where are you? You're with Jesus. See that? You're with Jesus. So don't fear what they fear, it says in Isaiah.
Don't dread what they dread. Let the peace of Christ mount guard over your heart. You belong to Christ. Your name's the book of life.
I've prepared a body for you, a city for you. You understand that the physical body you're in right now is burnt out on it? The statistics on death are 10 out of 10. Okay? We're all going to translate someday. It might be by the rapture, it might be by natural causes. But we are assured of eternal life in Christ. God, it says in Titus, God, who does not lie, has promised us eternal life. God doesn't lie. And he has promised eternal life to his people. And guys, it all begins with faith. Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my heart. I surrender. Lord, wash me in your precious blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I believe your word. I got a friend who's my worship leader. It'd be a great time. Great. Maybe I'll get him up here someday. That'd be great. I think he's going to come. He'll do some songs for us. I've had the best worship leaders, by the way, over the years. I had the one guy, the worship leader in the Philippines, Joseph Joe. He's not even the largest Calvary chapel on the islands. And he's just such a good brother. He's just that good brother. And he and I would do worship songs together. I could look over at him and I'd know what he was going to say. He just kept bringing his head in mind. And I don't know, that's something I have no idea. But there's one guy, Terry McRaven, the one I had at Big Bear. He made an album. One of the songs is, I believe in you. Lord, I believe in you. I believe in your word. I believe in you. Lord, I believe. You know how powerful your faith is just in believing in Christ. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I believe in you, Lord. I believe in you. Don't confess doubt. Confess faith. We have been baptized into new life. We are buried with Christ in baptism, but we are victorious there because now our life is now in Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me in the life that I now live.
I live by faith in the Son of God. That's a song, by the way.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, and gave himself for me.
Okay, everybody, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No.
your pastor's willing to be a little child with more out of mind. I love the old songs. You know, the songs help you memorize scripture, by the way. Those kind of simple songs. I love that. So, when God looks on you, he sees Christ. He sees you as a new creation. And again, quoting 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Jesus in John 17 prayed for us. He said, Father, I pray that the love you have for me will be in them. God looks on you if you're a believer and he says, I see Christ in you. I see the new creation in you. The old, our sins and lawless acts he remembers no more. That doesn't mean God doesn't know about it. He does. God knows what you do. There's no secrets from God. And he will chastise his children. He will say, this is bad for you. I think you better go with that. You're going the wrong way. Turn around. Repent. Get right with me. Confess your sin. God's not going to do that our whole life. He's going to chasten us. Someone has said the word of God is like, you know, it's like a surgeon's tool. It's the, you know, the scripture, whoa, it rebukes us. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Kings chapter 5. The story of a guy named Captain Naaman. How many of you have heard the story of Captain Naaman? My Old Testament. Anybody? Okay. Alright, well, you guys gotta read your Old Testament now, okay? Captain Naaman was the commander of the army of the Arameans. The commander of the army of the Arameans, okay? And the Arameans were the enemies of Israel. You can read it in 2 Corinthians, 2 Kings, chapter 5. And he was a valiant soldier, Naaman. His husband brave, but he had leprosy. So there was this little Israelite girl that they captured in battle, and she was working as a house girl, you know, probably a 12-year-old, I think, says she was. And she said, you know what, if only my master would go to Israel and have the Ephraim for you, like my prophet Elisha, his leprosy would get better. So he got permission from the king to convert him. Yeah, he'd go visit. He went to Israel, and this letter was given to the king of Israel. Would you heal this guy of leprosy? And the king went, why can't I do that? But Elisha said, send it to me. And when he came to Elisha, Captain Naaman with his leprosy, said, was told, go wash in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean. And he said, what? Jordan River is just this thin little crummy river. We have a better river than that. But it's just the advisors say, no, look at it. So what's the captain? The captain Naaman goes to the Jordan River the 7 times. And one.
Twice. 3 times.
Yep, you got it. 7 times. And looked at his skin. And his skin was like a little boy. It was restored like youthful skin. It's a picture. Leprosy in Scripture represents sin. We all were lepers at one time. But as we go, we don't have to go 7 times into the Jordan, but as we go to the water, 7 is a number of completion of perfection. As we go to water baptism, we are, it happens by faith, but we do it in obedience. The obedience of our faith should be baptism. We symbolize that our leprosy is washed away. It's left in that pool. I used to joke in my baptism, like Jacuzzi, I said, we'll drain it over there. What is sin in there? But it's just a symbolism. God has washed away our sins. We are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. Beloved, you're a new creation now. That's how God sees you. Remember that. You have a struggle between the two fighting dogs. I do. Which one's better to feed, the spirit or the flesh? Somebody tell me. The spirit, thank you. Why not? What's it better fit? Thank you. I love you guys. That's all I have to share with you today. Live for Christ. God wants to use you. He wants to use you. All of you are missionaries. No, that's the purpose of our life, is to share with Him with others and to glorify Him the way we live. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this simple reminder and meditation that we are made new. And Lord, baptism teaches us that we died. And that we come out of the water and we are risen with you. We are risen into new life. And Lord, we are told since we died that we are to set our mind on the things above, not on earthly things. Our life is now hid in Christ. And so Lord, help us to live in newness of life. We come short, Lord, every day. We come short. But fill us with the Holy Spirit more that we can live in the fullness of our relationship with you. And I think that it's not a legal relationship. It's a relationship of grace upon grace upon grace. Mercy upon mercy upon mercy. And Lord, you walk with us and you love us and you love us and you love us. And you never stop loving us. So we thank you that we have been set free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that we can grow in this relationship with you. And then, Lord, I pray you use us. We're unworthy, but you do, and you use us. And I pray you use each of us. And I pray that we would all be fishers of men. And I pray especially for the young people today that there will be a great revival, if you will, among our youth here in Chico. Father, set the captives free, we pray. Set the captives free. We have a burden for the mission field. And Father, we pray for the coming of Franklin Graham.